we're bringing is a very offensive message to some people. And as a matter of fact, it's a message that actually saves people from hell. Why should we not expect that particularly in the heavenlies and in the spiritual realms, there's going to be a war like crazy going on when we take this seriously? Amen? When you take on that truth, when you say, you know what, I am going to commit my life to help save other people, to, Jude says, to snatch them out of the fire. When you're committed to that, there's going to be some opposition to that. The enemy, the demons, and all of his forces, all of his powers, they're going to rage against that. And some of us are starting to understand that. And I believe, and this isn't, I don't know if you're going to take this as good news or not good news, but I believe that as we move as a church more and more into being obedient to God, there's going to be more opposition. The more we step out in faith, the more we stand in front of that enemy and say, no more. You are defeated, and we are going to claim every single lost soul for Jesus Christ. The more we do that, the more we can expect that there's going to be opposition. The church isn't, and I'm talking about the church as an organism, the church isn't supposed to be a safe place. It's a very dangerous place sometimes. 105,000 Christians died last year because they were martyred. And 2 million Christians suffered for their faith because they believed in Jesus Christ. You know what? We really aren't numbered among those 2 million yet. At least not many of us, I don't think. We're not really suffering. We're not really, our lives are really not threatened. There are people throughout the world who are suffering today, who are being martyred. Some will lose their lives today because they stand up for Jesus. The Bible says, and I said it earlier, but that passage in Jude, that some you may be able to snatch from the fire. Just think about that. You know, when I think about that, I love sometimes I just feel like I got to get on a chair, so I hope you'll bear with me. But, you know, when I see you better too, but you know, we snatch people. This is what the definition is of Christianity. That in those end days, Jude says, you will actually snatch people from the fire. That's mercy. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them, and to others show mercy mixed with fear. We snatch people from the fire, and I don't know about you, but when I snatch something of the fire, if I've ever had to do that before, and I'm reaching down into the fire, there's a danger involved in there, and I might get burned. Watch out, Maria. And sometimes I may need someone to, I may say, can you grab onto my belt loop? Come on, get up here. Hold on. Because I gotta snatch Maureen out of the fire. Right? Thank you, Karen. You did a very good job. You know what I'm saying? You getting this? That's what we do. We have the power because of the gospel message, because of the truth that we have, because of what Jesus has done on the cross. We can reach down and actually snatch people out of the fire. And I may need a sister to hold me up. I may need someone to grab me by the waist. And I may burn and singe some of the hair off of my arm and maybe burn my knuckles. I may need to do that. But that person's going to get saved. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So on that same theme, I wanted to explain that so you understand. Maybe you need to know, because this is where we're going as a church. There's gonna be more opposition. It's not going to be all sanitized. It's not all going to be clean. Some of it's going to get messy. And there's going to be an enemy who wars against us. But we stand together. The church is one foundation. Is Jesus Christ, our Lord. In 1 Samuel 22, there's another little example of David's mercy. And it's the mercy that he shows to his own family. And I want to read these few verses in 1 Samuel 22. And just to set the stage, because some of you haven't been here before, but David's in the cave of Adullam. He's in there with his men, and he's on the run. Saul wants to kill him. Saul has tried to kill him. He's chasing after him, but God is protecting him. And this is the passage just prior to what I explained last week, when Saul goes into such a rage that he kills 85 priests. Or he has Doeg kill him, the Edomite. So Saul shows no mercy. Even to all the priests who lived in the village of Nob, he kills them all. Now, just prior to that, this is what we read. 1 Samuel 22, that David left Gath, and he escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. And from there David went to Mizpah in Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with me until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in that stronghold. But the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah." And then David left and went to the forest of Hereth. And let me just explain that this is a mercy that David is showing to his own mom and dad and his brothers, whoever of his family was there. They were in the cave, and no doubt they'd been in this cave of Adullam, for a long time. And David goes to the king of Moab, who, by the way, he probably had a pretty good relationship with. He seemed to have some rapport with him, partly because David's grandmother was Ruth, and Ruth was a Moabite. Okay, so there's a connection there. He's actually related. David is partly Moabite. All right? So he says to the king of Moab, "Is it okay if, you know, rather than my mom and dad staying in the cave with me, which hasn't been, you know, all that great, is it okay if my family stays with you?" And he shows mercy to his mom and dad. He shows mercy to his family by making sure that they're cared for. Isn't that cool? And then we read that he's surrounded by these men who become his mighty men, but who, as a matter of fact, are kind of misfits, for lack of a better term. And I guess I want to start, I know I've already started, but I'm going to carry on here by saying, you know what? Mercy, when we really show mercy to people, when we truly demonstrate the love of Jesus, and we have that kind of love that we are including and that we are granting a second chance and we are offering forgiveness for people, that it will attract misfits. Yes. Mercy, when it really is genuine, attracts misfits like me and like you. And it's interesting that that's the people that, you know, surrounded David. There was a time in David's life, a few years later, when David would be the king, when he'd have all kinds of friends. Everyone wanted to be David's friend then. You know, when you're the king of Israel, you're popular. Everyone wanted to be a part of the entourage at that point. But at this point, David was not very popular. But he had 400 men who surrounded him. And they were people, according to the scriptures, they were people who were in distress. Do you see that? They were in debt or they were discontented. Those are the three words that describe David's mighty men. And there's a few of us going, "Amen. I can relate to that. I'm in distress, or I'm in debt, or I'm discontented." You know, those are the kind of people that David had around him. Those were his mighty men. And he must have had times when he would have said to himself, you know, "Come on, Lord, is there no doctor or lawyer around here, or someone who, you know, isn't always upset or angry or in upheaval in their lives, someone who's not a criminal, you know?" And yet, it's not you. Be careful what you say. I hear what you say, and that's not you, because you're a misfit, just like me. And that's what it's about, is that God builds an army of people that probably no one else would ever build an army with. And it's one of many examples in the scriptures where God uses the weak to show how strong he is. God uses the people that no one else would ever choose. And he says, "I choose you, and I choose you. And I'm going to do exploits. I'm going to do mighty things with you that you can't even imagine." And it doesn't matter what your criminal record is. It doesn't matter that you walk with a limp. It doesn't matter that you struggle with depression. It doesn't matter. I'm going to use the weak to show how powerful and how strong I am. And I've done that with David. Everyone overlooked David. Even his father left him out in the pasture taking care of sheep. He was just a short little boy. Everyone, but God said, "No, this is the man, because I will use who you don't expect me to use." That's a good lesson. Amen. That's a good lesson. I've been reminded of that in my life many times. Sometimes people that you go, that guy will never work out. That person will never turn to Christ. That person will never be used. It isn't true. God uses who we expect will never be used. Someone who has no potential, we think. And David was surrounded, honestly, he's surrounded by a band of misfits because they needed mercy. Right? They needed that mercy. They knew what it was like to not have mercy. They knew what it was like to be shunned. They knew what it was like to be isolated. This is what this band of men were. They were isolated. They had no purpose in life. No one cared for them. Let's look at those three words. They all start with D. There are some who were distressed. That means that they were troubled in their spirit. They were distressed. They not just troubled in their spirit, but they were actually in trouble. They were probably, some of them, or many of them, wanted by the law. Some of them were criminals. They were in distress. They were lost. Like some of us are even right now. They were in distress. You know, their lives weren't rosy. Everything wasn't easy for them. He says there are others who were in debt. Why were they in debt? You know, it wasn't only a generation ago that God said through Samuel, don't choose for yourself a king. Because if you choose for yourself a king, there's going to be problems. And that's exactly what happened. When they chose Saul to be their king, he started to do what kings do. He taxed the people. And because he taxed the people, he started to tax their land. And because people couldn't pay those heavy taxes, because you know what? Somehow that palace and all those armies and all those chariots, all that stuff has to get paid for. It had to be taxed. And so there was a whole lot of people in those days who lost their farms and they lost their land and they came in debt to other landlords and they became in debt to the king. So they were in debt. These are people of the 400. There are many of them who were in debt. They owed something that they could never pay. And because they couldn't pay it, they were criminals. Their lives were actually, they could be killed if they didn't pay the debt. And the last thing it says is that there were people in that group who were discontented. It meant that they had a spirit that was bitter. That's literally what that word means. They had a bitter spirit. Life had been hard for them. They'd been beaten up. They were broken, like so many people we know, and maybe we've even been there ourselves. They were discontented. They were angry. They wanted to see God do something. And These are the individuals, these are the men who surrounded David. And the interesting thing is how God used David to make these men and to teach these men to be mighty men. You know, they became the pillars. They became the pillars of David's kingdom in the years to come. Isn't that something? And that God chooses to use people who maybe are weak or people we wouldn't expect or people who we think, you know, they don't fit the bill. They're not qualified. There's that word. People that we think aren't qualified, God says you're very qualified. It isn't about your ability. It's more about your availability. Right? And that God used these people that nobody had any use for to be the men that surrounded David because he showed mercy to them. Because he said to them, come, you're included. You're part of my gang. You're part of this troop. You're part of my army. And God will use you. The thing to know, though, is that these guys didn't just come in and, you know, with a drumstick in one hand and a sword in the other, like you might think, you know, and just start tearing things about and live in rampage and pillage. No, you know what they did? These guys, even though they were misfits, even though they were down and out, they surrendered to David. They let David be their leader. Yeah, they came under authority. Thank you, Christy. They came under authority, and they surrendered and they submitted to David. And they learned what God had to teach them in that cave. And the truth is, that sometimes we learn best when we're in that cave. Right? That they were willing to let David point the way to God. They were willing to surrender to him and submit to him. That they didn't just come in here like a bunch of rogues trying to take over the world. You know, that's maybe the image we get sometimes. That's not what happened here. They submitted. They recognized David as their leader. And David says this to the king of Moab. He says, And so he left his mom and his dad and his family with the king of Moab as they stayed, because he said this: "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with me until I learn what God will do for me?" That's a very important line. Until I learn what God will do for me. I'm going to say it again. Until I learn what God will do for me. In other words, David is saying this: I'm staying in the cave. Even though it's drippy wet in here and it's really dark, and even though the king comes in and relieves himself at the front of the cave once in a while, like he did last week, I'm staying in the cave. I am not leaving the cave until God shows me what he's going to do. I want you to think about that, because God really spoke and convicted me of that this week. That, you know, so often in our lives, we just want to get out of the cave, right? Whatever your cave is, whatever your struggle is, whatever whether you're in debt or whether you're in distress or whether you're discontented or whatever, maybe you're discouraged or you go through troubles with depression, or maybe your cave is a daughter that you're worried about because she's in an abusive relationship. You can have all kinds of caves. You can have anything that you get stuck in that cave. The reality is we want to get out of that cave. Whatever the cave is that we're in, our reaction really is not to stay in the cave, but we want to get out. And I believe that God's saying, no, you got to stay where I put you until you hear from me. And I think we're even guilty sometimes of delivering people, or thinking we're delivering people, when they haven't yet heard even from God. We circumvent God's work. We just want to save people. You know, I just want to grab Sherry and get her out of the life she's in. I want to just get Mitch, and, you know, we're going to scratch our way out of this pit that we're in. And we think that's the whole point, that the whole point is to get out. But maybe it isn't. Maybe the whole point is, when you're in the cave, is to just shut up and listen. Just listen. You're so worried about getting out. All you want to do is escape. When God says, you know, my purpose here isn't that you escape. Yes, eventually you will. Eventually you'll be out of that cave. Eventually you'll be set free. But until that happens, you should wait until you hear from me. You just wait. And here's the good news, is that it's when we're in the cave, in that dark, isolated, lonely place, that if we'll just quiet our hearts, it's in the cave that we can hear God best. Yeah, abide. Abide in me. It's in the cave that his voice becomes more clear, because when we finally stop hearing the scratching of our fingernails in the walls as we're trying to climb out of the pit, and we stop our whining and our crying and our self-pity, when we finally find ourselves still before God, it's in the cave, it's in the darkness of the cave, that we hear his voice. David, and I think this is so telling, and it's so God's word today, David said, I'm not going anywhere until I hear what God is going to do. What God is going to do. And then I'll leave the cave. It's in the cave. And that cave can be your addiction. That cave can be, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think about how to explain this, but, you know, what is it that you're troubled with? That could be your cave. What is it that steals your sleep? That could be your cave. It could be worrying about your kids. It could be a marriage tension. It could be losing your job. It could be 100 different things, and your cave is different than mine. What is it that dominates your mind and you lose your sleep to this thing? Whatever it is, that could be your cave, but it's in that darkness that you can hear the voice of God. Worrying, where am I going to live? How am I going to care for my kids? Yeah, health issues, amen. Health issues can dominate our minds, and it's all we think about. And I think every one of us, maybe you're not in a cave right now, but you've been there before, and you know what I'm talking about. You've been in trouble. You've been wanted by the law, or maybe worse, you've been wanted by some people who will do worse things to you than the law will do. What's your cave? I know you want to get out of it. I know you want to escape. But instead, I think God's word is saying to us today, Don't run away. Just be still and know that I'm God. It's in the cave where Elijah got to see who God really was, right? He wasn't in the wind, and he wasn't in the fire, and he wasn't in the shaking, but he was there in that cave. He was in that still, small voice. He knew who God was. You know how many amazing, wonderful, miraculous things have happened in caves? John, on the island of Patmos, wrote down the revelation of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. It happened when he was all by himself. He was stuck on this little tiny island all by himself, isolated in a dark place, lonely. And God gave him this revelation. Paul, you know how many epistles and how many letters Paul wrote while he was chained in prison in this little, damp, dark cell where he was treated terribly? He wrote those letters that we get strength from because God speaks to you when you're in the cave. God speaks to you. We need to listen to God. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here today, that the goal maybe isn't to escape. And I think I've been guilty of this, even in teaching you or proclaiming the truth, that sometimes I've focused too much on the escape. We got to deliver. We got to save. We got to see people get out of the cave. Well, yes, but let God save. Let God be the one who delivers. And in the meantime, let's stand and listen to him because it's in the cave we hear the voice of God, the cave of not being in work and trusting God and having faith that he's going to take care of you. The cave of worrying about your neighbor because she's living a life that's such a struggle for her. I can look at your faces. You know, I hear about your caves. You tell me about them. I know the darkness. I know the isolation and the loneliness. I know the things you worry about and you struggle with. But God says today, not until I hear from you, God, will I leave. Not until. And I'm going to learn today, Lord. I'm going to learn to just be quiet in this dark place. I'm going to learn that your voice resonates in the walls of this cave so that I can hear what you really have for me. I'm not leaving until I know what you're going to do, God. It's really hard for me to not talk. It's hard to have long pauses. And you know me, I mean, I'm feels like I'm always doing moving and rah-rah and this and that. That's not one of those kind of messages today. It's just about be quiet. Let God speak. Even in your pain and your hurt, especially in your pain and your hurt, especially where you hurt the most or where you worry the most, turn to me, God says. Start praying. Why aren't you praying? Pray to me. Call out to me. When you're in the cave, cry out to me. It's when you can cry out the best. Quit scrambling. Quit trying to save your life or even the lives of other people, even though that might appear to be a very noble thing to do. Just listen. Don't do anything. Do not do anything until you hear what your God is going to do. Thank you, God. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are in distress or in debt or discontented. Come to me, all you who are weary. Are you weary? Are you tired? Are you sick and tired? Come to me. Come to me, all you who are broken, all of you who are down, all of you who are in the pit, all of you who are lost. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to me and you will find rest. All you who are weary, and heavy burden. You're weighed down. Your shoulders are heavy from all the stuff you've been carrying. Come to me, and I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. Come to me. I thank God. I'm going to end on this note, but I thank God that in His wisdom, He left Jesus in the cave for 3 days. That He didn't react by trying to fix this thing quickly or by trying to circumvent the plan that ultimately God needed, that Jesus stayed for 3 days in the cave until the work was finished. And until He could come out and declare His victory. I thank God that He rose from the dead and we're moving into that season. I thank God that Jesus is alive, but I also thank God that for those days He stayed where He needed to stay. In the darkness, in the loneliness, in the desperation, in the brokenness of that tomb. I thank God that Jesus truly completed that work when He said it's finished, and He didn't try to shortcut like we so often do. He stayed in the tomb for those 3 days so that when He came out, He could declare without any hesitancy and without any doubt, I'm alive. And because He's alive, we live. Amen. Thank you, God. So God, we just pray today. And I thank You for Your word. And it's a different word today, God. A great reminder for us, Lord, that in the situation that we find ourselves in the trouble we're in, or the darkness or the cave, Lord, that we're in, that You're in that cave with us. Thank You, God. And I pray that You'll help us to stop scrambling and stop running ahead of You, God. You tell us that we should walk in the Spirit, and yet we race in the Spirit, or we think we are. God, open up our ears, open up our hearts, and help us to listen to You when we're in this place where there is nothing but You. I pray, God, that we'll get past our self-pity and the wallowing in the darkness and the scrambling to get out and the desire to escape and all of that, Lord, that You'll just give us a peace about that so that we can finally just sit back and come to You. Just to come to You, Lord, and to receive Your rest. We're weary. We are weary. We're tired. We're beaten up. There's a world that continues to war against us. We just want to be still and know that You're God. Speak, God, where we don't really expect You to speak, and yet it's where You speak the clearest. Just speak to us. Lord, there's a lot of us that we have things we're struggling with. There's financial struggles. There's personal problems. There's sickness. We went all through that, God. You know that. And Lord, instead of looking at those things in our lives as such a blight, as such a cancer in our lives, I pray, God, we'll embrace them and recognize that that's how you move in our lives. That's how we know who You are. And that's how we hear You and trust You, God. I thank You, Lord, that You're such a merciful God. That Your mercies are new every morning. I thank You that You have everything we need. That we don't need to be drowning in our fears. We don't need to be drowning in our worries. We just need to seek You, God, with all of our hearts. Just speak, God. And remind us today that there's an army of angels that You're the captain of. And we don't stand alone. That even in our own little cave, we're not alone. You're there with us. Our God stands beside us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm wondering today if there's any stories or any testimonies of just, you know, I know there's lots of stories, so I'm going to ask you to be focused here today. To just focus on what God's saying today, that you've had to be quiet, or maybe you've had to just trust Him in a hard place, that you've had to not fix it. You've had to wait to say, okay, Lord, I'm not doing nothing. I'm not doing anything until you speak. Is there anyone who has a story like that today? Thank you. I'm going to give the microphone. You start, though. Just wait, it'll come on.
You came, you want to be with him,
yeah.
But you can't do much. Mm-hmm. And I have no more desire to do anything. And sometimes I think, God, what's wrong with me? I'm just, it's just not working. Mm. And I'm so content to wait on him and to let it happen, let it fall off you, because he is in control. And I also know that God's going to raise up a people that has died to self. And I have only one prayer, that God will help me die to self, because if we read in, I don't know exactly where, in Numbers, how Balaam got this message from God to from the king of Moab to curse the people, God says, no, bless them. Mm. And then what he speaks about, the company of people, their leather ends, let my leather ends be like his, died to self. And God is doing that in all of us.
Amen.
Because I speak to a lot of people who feel that they're in that same holding tank. And we are not going nowhere until God raises us up.
Amen. Good word. Thank you. Yeah, Gaston.
That was a good message you had there. I've been sick, and I asked God, I was asking God, why is it that I don't get healed?
Yep.
And I said, I got prayer many times, and I'm not getting healed. And I've been sick quite a bit. Last fall winter, I didn't work. You know, that's a lot of sickness. And the Lord said, He said, you, I can teach you so much more when you're there.
Hmm.
When you're there and I have you where I need you, where you're quiet and you can hear from me and you can because you want to get out so much at that place,
mm-hmm.
You can be quiet and you can hear me, and I need you to be there some more, so I'm not healing you.
Yes. Mm.
So wow. I can talk to you.
Yep.
Because I asked him, why don't you heal me?
Yep.
You could. But he said, no.
Yep.
I say, you be content where you are. Just accept that. It's me. I'm there. I'm talking to you. Just listen to me. So it's a good cave. It's a hard cave, but it's a good cave.
Yeah, and learning to embrace it is hard.
Yeah.
Right? We want to push it away. I want to get out of here. I want to get well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I should be, you know. God's plan might have a different purpose. And you will. Someday you'll be out of that cave. But when he says.
In the meantime, it's good. It's a good cave. It's a cave of acceptance.
Yeah.
It's good to be content when there's nothing to be content about. Just in God. Just be content in God.
Good word. Thanks, Sean. Sean Gaston. Yes.
Thanks. I really appreciated the message today, and it's speaking to me. That word that Sonny had, abide, that's really a word from God. And the last 2 weeks I've been listening to a song called Abide by Paul Clark. He's one of the Jesus People music pioneers, and So I just, you can Google it, and it's a powerful song. And the cave is a gift from God. Mm. And we do want to short circuit the process sometimes, but I'm learning in such a deep way to submit to God, His timing, His process. And when we do that, we soar. And one of my favorite speakers is Graham Cook, and I've quoted him a few times. And one of my favorite quotes is, "We serve an audience of one," and that's from Graham Cook. And how we get to that place is submission in the cave and abiding in God and letting Him kill us, letting Him do the deep work of the Spirit that He wants to do. When I do that, I grow. And when I get resentful at my circumstances, then I you may as well take me in the back and shoot me, because I'm not doing so hot. But so I just want to encourage all of us to just submit to the process. Welcome the discipline of God. Let the disappointments come. He knows exactly what circumstances to bring into our lives to work His purposes. And oftentimes it's through people. I got hit hard this week from my son and somebody, an irate customer at work. But those are gifts from God to learn to say, "I'm going to trust You, mm-hmm. Lord, and learn Your ways." Thank Amen. You.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Darcy. My pit for many, many years was alcoholism. I struggled with that for quite a while. I still struggle with it today. But, I got my little cave now. It's called Lazarus House, and where I can be quiet and Amen. actually hear what he's got in store for me next. And, not that I'm mad at Him, but sometimes I wish He wouldn't have given us free will. You know, that the choices that we make sometime are just harsh. And yeah. I don't make them the best sometimes, but I know that if I just be quiet and listen to Him, He won't lead me down this road to nowhere.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's leading me somewhere. Mm-hmm. And He's got a perfect plan for every one of us. And if we just listen long enough in His time, it'll come to us.
Yep.
So God is great.
Man. Amen. Go ahead.
I've just been having my eyes drawn to the last verse there, but the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay mm-hmm. in the stronghold, go into the land of Judah, and at its perfect time you will be called out of the stronghold." Yeah. And when you go into the land of Judah, Judah is the place of praise, because the people of Judah were the people of praise. They were the ones who led the armies out. They led the armies of God out. And when you break forth, you will break forth in praise. You will break mm-hmm. forth in power. You will break forth into what God has for you.
Thanks.
And every single wall will fall. And it will be well worth it. Mm-hmm. It will be well worth it. The time in the cave will be worth it.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Linda, I know. I'm coming to you whether you got your hand up or not. So we need to hear from you. So can you stand?
Well, a lot of people here knows what I've been through and what I'm going through. God is so good. In my situation, sometimes I can say, like, where is God?
Yeah.
But He took me to a place that I learned so much rather than regretting what happened in my life. I thank God for everything that
yes.
I've been through and what I've learned and what I struggled in. And I have this favorite scripture, like Proverbs 3:5-6, that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean unto your own understanding. in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path straight. And that's what I always have to remind myself, that I don't have nothing to worry about. Like, I have 5 kids, and they are, sometimes I can feel like I just want to give up. Because it is hard raising teenagers.
Yep.
And, but God gave me so much wisdom, so much knowledge, how to go on to my struggles and to everything that is coming on my way. I learned not to blame him for what happened, because I'm the one that go into this. Like, I'm the one that married my husband, not him. I didn't ask him. I didn't ask him, but I accepted that he is teaching me. If I didn't married my husband, I will not be this person. Mm-hmm. I will not be the one. I will not learn anything to be with God. Mm-hmm. And I trust God. He make me content. I'm happy for, even like, you know, it's a struggle. Like, it's hard to find a place. It's hard to go on with, like, my kids eat a lot, so. And it's like, I can't say anything. He is such a good God.
Good words. And you learn, right? We learn through those hard things. We learn in the cave. We learn how to pray. Here, you hold on to that, but I just want to finish saying that thought, that if we just would learn that when things are, if I would just learn, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I know what God said to me this week. If you would just learn that when you're having a hard day, or when you're struggling, or when, you know, you're dealing with hard things, if you just learn to pray, you know, you do it later on in the process, but just pray. It's an opportunity for me to just get close to God, but instead I'm mad at the time, or I'm trying to justify myself, or whatever. God just says, pray quicker. Just come to me. Now's your opportunity, right? In this cave, in this brokenness, now you can come and you can pray. Man, you can pray. It's just like you're right there with God when you're going through those hard things, right? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, being still and knowing of God, that's probably been my strength for many days now. I've just been being still in God, because knowing that he's in control of everything in my life and that he's not going to lead me astray. I just found this verse this morning I wanted to read. It's in James chapter 3, verse 14-18. It says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. The wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For every jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteous is sown in peace by those who make peace."
Amen. Thank you. I want you to say something. I don't know why, but God has you on my heart. Thanks. There you go. I think we need to hear from you, Marguerite.
What I think about distress, debt, and discontentment, so many people are in these situations, but I think they need guidance too. So we as a church, I think the ones that we have been already out of the cave and we are in the land of Judah, we can help those that are still in that cave and give them guidance. And because when they were there in that cave, they went there because there was a leader that was going to help them to get out of all the situations that they were living in, and they were after that strong men, courage, and the story tells that they were killing a lot of Philistines and a lot of they were the brave men after they leave out of the cave. But I think we have been in different caves, and maybe we get out of the stronghold, and now we're in the land of Judah for praise and everything that people have said. But we need to help those that are in the cave now.
Amen. See, I knew we needed to hear that. Praise God. Amen. Take a look around. This is us. This is us. This is the 200 or the 300 or the 400 men and women that God joins together and says, you know, we're the army that God is establishing. It's the vision that He's given us. It's a direction that He moves us in. And yeah, we might look like a motley crew. And I don't mean the band. I mean, you know, like a misfits. We might look like, you know, we may not look like much. I'm including myself, you know. We don't need to look like much if God is in it. And I personally believe that, you know, God is just empowering us, and He's starting something that is exciting to me, and I don't know where it's going, and it's a little scary sometimes, but I'm prepared to go to war with you. And I'm proud to stand with other misfits. And it doesn't matter, because God empowers us. And it's kind of exciting, actually, that we're not all doctors and lawyers and psychiatrists, because God uses the weak to show how strong He is. Kim, did you have something?
About 2 years ago, I was just about on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Well, sorry.
And I had an opportunity to go to this job. And I'm the type that, I call it my shiny things. I get distracted very easy. Something comes along and off I go. So I have a lot of shiny things in my life. And I get excited easy. A lot of passion. But I was just about homeless and could figure out why I was there, you know, because I hadn't really done anything to get there. But it was God. But at this one point, I'm packing to leave my home on a shiny adventure, and I was on my knees packing, and the Lord came, and He took my face in His hands.
Mm.
And He said, stop, honey, just stop. He said, stop. He says, there you go again, off on your shiny things. And He says, I don't want you to look to the right, and I don't want you to look to the left. And He was doing this, don't look here, and don't look here. And He says, and I don't care what other people say. He says, they're not going to understand. They're not going to understand where you're at, and I need you to know that. So don't listen to what's being said, and don't look to the left at the right. He says, right here. And He pointed to His eyes, and He says, you've got to keep your focus right here. Honey,
yes, God.
That's the only place you're ever going to be safe is right here. And that's a journey I've been on in the last little bit. So I still struggle, and I still have tons of problems, and I still am in another cave. But...
Hmm.
I think my caves become because I don't keep it here.
That's right. Wow, I'm glad you spoke. Need to hear that. Keep your eyes, what does Hebrews say? Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. We've got to look to Jesus. We've got to stick to Him. Just, you know, one last thought before we close with this song. And it's a prayer song, so we're going to pray it together, but... You know, the big thing nowadays is these things called man caves. You know, men build their dens and their basements, and they stick things in there like pool tables and jukeboxes and other stuff. But you know what most of us don't put in our man cave is we don't have a nice little stool, a little kneeling bench. And that's what we need. We need that in our woman cave, in our man cave. We need to have a place where we can get on our knees. We need to be able to pray to God. We need to know that when we're struggling, and when things are dark, and when it's hard, and when everyone seems against us, there's two things I know for sure. First of all, I'm not in that cave all by myself. You're in there too. And my God, even more importantly, my God is in there. Amen. So Lord, I'm going to, Mitch, would you stand, Mitch, and just pray. Pray loudly. You can do that.
And Lord, you are the light in that dark cave.
Yes.
And Lord, even I have seen you in every different way.
Thank you, God.
And Lord, I can't keep you in a box and I don't want to keep
That's
you
right.
in a box. But Lord, we thank you for being with us in the cave, taking us out of the cave, but Lord, teaching us while we're in there.
Mm-hmm. Can you say amen? Why don't we stand?
You don't have to know how to pray. All you have to know how to faith is Jesus. In a shouted voice or a whispered song, in a crowded room when you're all alone, just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. How I love the name of Jesus. Every day is the name. Lover of my soul. Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. I'm forever changed in Jesus, my Savior and my Lord.
You don't have to know.
You don't have know how to pray. All you have to know how to pray is Jesus. Jesus. In a shouted voice or a whispered prayer, in a crowded room when you're all alone, just say how I love the name of Jesus. Every day the same is Jesus, lover of my soul. Oh, Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. I'm forever I'm forever changed.
Jesus. How I love the name of Jesus. Every day is the name of Jesus. Lover of my soul. There's power in the name of Jesus. I'm forever changed in Jesus. My Savior and my Lord. My Savior and my Lord. My Savior and my Lord.
Yes, Lord. Out of the darkness, Lord. Out of the darkness. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And even in the cave, God, even in the cave, and especially in the cave, we hear your voice. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, because he loves you so much. Go in the power of God and of his Spirit. Amen.
Jesus, how I love the name of Jesus. Every day the same is Jesus, lover of my Lord. Jesus, this power in the name of Jesus, I'm forever changed in Jesus, my Savior and my Lord.
You don't know, you don't need to
know. You don't have to know how to pray. All you have to know how to say is Jesus. Jesus. His shining voice, whole with a tone. Crowded room when you're all alone. Just say Jesus. Every day is the same as Jesus, lover of my soul. Oh, Jesus, this power in the name of Jesus, I'm forever changed with Jesus, my Savior and my soul.
Thank you.
I didn't know this one, so it's kind of, I didn't really know that one.
Oh, you guys, I'm just thrilled to play with you guys.